You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Soon as I make my place in this world, all the time means cars and pretty girls can never replace the love I'm for you. It's all the things that love.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net. You're listening to A Place in This World with Michael Dean and Q Storm today. How are you doing, Q?
I'm doing good. I think for today, you know, let me just say I'm honored to be on this show because I've listened to this show every time you do an episode and you really come with some real stuff on the show. You kind of get personal. So for today, I'm getting rid of the Q Storm. It's Michael Jones. Okay. People know me for who I really am today. No characters today.
Okay, all right. Well, for those who have never listened to A Place in This World, as Mr. Jones has said, you know, this is the show where we talk about life, real stuff that's going on. A lot of times I use this as for me, it's like therapy. You can get on here and just speak about what's going on, get it out, you know, like to hold in a lot of stuff that's not healthy. So it's sort of therapeutic to you know, release all of that stuff that's inside. And this episode will be no different. But, you know, to be honest, it's not going to be about what's going on in my world. We're going to talk about Michael Jones. Got some stuff that he's been dealing with and going through, navigating, and wants to share this experience with us. And I've said, of course, man, you know, this show is your show. So come on in. So, man, Mike, we're just going to go to you and let you start, you know, however you want to get into this. I know what this situation is about, but for those who don't, you know, why don't you kind of start at the beginning?
Well, you know, I don't want to sound like someone who is full of hate. And I know most of you who know me as Q Storm on Facebook, y'all probably laughing when I say that. But I just wanted to, you know, find a platform to talk about my feelings about, you know, programs like CYS, Child Youth Services. And I can't speak to how these programs operate around the country, but I can speak to how they operate in New Jersey. And I can speak to how, personally, they are operating in Pennsylvania, which I think is just kind of appalling. And I just wanted to get that out there.
All right. So what was it called again? CYS?
Well, you know, CYS, or I think it's called DIFUS in New Jersey, the Department of Youth and Something Services. CYS is Children and Youth Services. I'm sure each state has a different nomenclature for those government organizations.
All right. So, how do you fit into what is your experience with this organization?
Well, we back in, I want to say 2011. Yeah, 2011. Well, let me take it back even further. My wife and I, we got married. We were in our late 30s when we got married. We had a son. He is now 8 years old. And we always wanted more than one child because, you know, on my side of the family, there's no other young children. My brother's not married, doesn't have any children. On her side, my wife's side of the family, same situation. And both our parents are getting up in age. And, you know, our concern was that our son would grow up with no family. And I just think that's very important to have someone to lean on if you need to. So given that we both had just turned 40 when we got married, the pregnancy for our 8-year-old was not difficult, but it was without, you know, without some alarms because of her age. So we decided we wanted to adopt a child, which I think is a noble cause, you know. But adoption, you know, you could pay up to $30,000, $50,000 to adopt. And it could take, you know, a couple years or a year or more. So we decided to go through the foster system, which you can opt to be a foster parent with the express intention of adopting. So, you know, we moved to Philadelphia in 2009 and we decided to do that. And they put you through this rigorous, and rightfully so, they put you through this rigorous type of training. You have to attend classes like for 6 months, once a week. And they give you mounds and mounds of paperwork. You know, they ask you, would you accept a child that has been sexually abused? Would you accept a child with a terminal illness or a chronic illness or a child that couldn't speak? You know, any type of tragic or any kind of circumstance you could think of, you're answering, would you accept this type of child? And they should do that because they want to know what type of people they are enrolling in their program. So we told them that we wanted a child to adopt, and we wanted one that was between the ages of, I think we said 4 and 6, because we wanted our natural son to be the oldest child. Well, I got a call one day, and not soon after we registered, we were registered into the training. I got a call. I was working at home, and they said, you know, Mike, we have an infant, 4 months old, and we know you weren't looking for infants, but we really could use your help. But if you take the infant, I will tell you that you must be prepared to adopt. We want the family to adopt the infant if you're going to accept him. And I was like, well, you know, let me talk to my wife. And, you know, after some soul searching, 2 days later, we called back and said, we'll take him. And I'll never forget that night.
No, take your time, man. Wow, well, we can take a break. I can edit this. Come back.
Okay.
All right. Just go ahead.
Okay. I'll never forget that night when they brought him by for the first time. I was holding this child, 4 months old. And I'm like, wow, we just got a new life in the house. This is amazing. We had the crib all set up, and we learned about how this child got put into the foster system.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you a question. How many times? What's his name? Or if you want to say his name, or
I'll just say his first name because I put it online. James is his name.
James. So. I mean, what was it like when, had James already been, I imagine he'd been at your house before, or was this the first time he's coming?
The first time, literally, the caseworker came by, was around 8 o'clock at night, and said, here's James.
Is this the first time you've met him, or you meeting him?
First time we met him.
Okay, wow.
No idea what he was going to look like. He came in looking like a young James Brown, the sports announcer, not the singer.
Okay.
He had an afro, you know, he was so cute. And
wow. There had to be a lot of nervousness, anticipation. Like, did you see pictures or anything? You just had no idea.
We had no idea. Because the way it works is that when they get a call about a child in need, literally that night, you know, we were told that, you know, there's situations where a child is sitting in the office of the caseworker, and often the caseworker is calling every family on their phone, on their list, saying, will you take him? Will you take her? Will you take him?
Okay, got it.
So they have, when they get a placement, it's immediate. So you don't really get to, unlike a private situation, you don't really get to see the child because it's right away.
Okay, so James, that first day, caseworker brings him in. You guys see him. Now you guys had like a room and everything set up for him, I imagine.
At the crib, it was my we had the crib all set up in one of the bedrooms. He was all ready to go. He was asleep when he came in. I took him upstairs, put him in the crib, and you know. Everything started moving from there. But I will say, I'm just going to put this out there. I'm not going to mention any names, and I'm just going to give everyone the facts as to why I feel so cheated and why I feel like CYS does not necessarily have the children's best interests in mind. First thing is that we went through a company, I'm not going to mention their name, that is licensed by the state to provide foster parents, okay, which is fine. But they must have gone through 5 or 6 different caseworkers, which tells me people are just coming in and coming out of that office like McDonald's. So how can you develop any type of relationship with your with the children you're dealing with if that's the case? The second thing is, the first person who was assigned to James, come to find out after we were told multiple times, let me back up. We found out when he turned a year old that, we weren't supposed, who told you that you were going to get to adopt him? They shouldn't have told you that. He's going to be reunified with his dad at some point.
This is how long since he had been with you?
He had been with us probably a year and a half at that point.
Wow.
And then come to find out that the woman who was the initial caseworker for James was a friend of the mother, which is a conflict of interest that's not supposed to happen. Because she, you know, the thinking that she will want to see the child given back to the biological parent under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you about those circumstances. And this is where I want to put people's business out in the street, which I have to for you to understand why I'm so upset. So I'm saying this for the first time. I am, as of August 1st, 48 years old. When James was born, when James was conceived in 2011 or 2010, the father was older than I am. So I was, 45? He was older than I was at the time. The mother was 16. And so we come to find out that, this is pretty much open and shut. Isn't that statutory rape? No, because the father hired a lawyer, or I guess a lawyer was appointed to him, that got him off because he was able to prove that the father had asked for ID before having sex with the minor, and the minor gave him a fake ID.
Okay.
So basically, my thinking is, even though he got off, doesn't that speak to his state of mind, his values? If you're in a relationship where you have to cart the woman, I don't think you should be having relations with the woman. That's just me personally. The father initially refused to take his psychotherapy medication, so he's on meds. The father threatened to kill one of the caseworkers in front of the judge during one of the hearings. The father has since gotten another woman pregnant, so he has another infant to take care of in addition to James. And on one of the visits that are court ordered, the caseworker went to the guy's house where the infant was to inspect the house, because they have to inspect. They had to inspect our house as well. They inspect the dad's house to make sure it's up to par. He refused to let them in. And when they came with, I don't know if it was police or some sort of authority, he grabbed the infant. He did a Walter White. He grabbed the infant, fled out the back door, jumped in his car, and took off. So I'm thinking this is unstable behavior. And I'm thinking all along, my wife and I are thinking, you know, I'm not a person who says a child should be separated from his natural born parents. But understanding the situation we were put in, where we were asked to open our hearts to a child that we were told we could adopt, of course we're thinking, okay, we'll get to keep James now. But obviously that's not the case. The parents get a chance to, they get more chances than I think they deserve to get their act together. And apparently the dad has gotten his act together. However, and again, I'm not going to mention names, we just found out that the dad is claiming disability, so he gets disability checks. However, he runs a tree trimming business. So, I mean, to me, it just seems it's that whole side-eye thing. I just don't understand why, you know, things are going down the way they are. And, you know, the mother is out of the picture. I remember when James was around 2 years old, he did go back to his mother. And we thought that was the end of it. So we went through the grieving at that point. And we found out that James was put into a facility where the mother, like it's kind of like a halfway house, but a little mm-hmm. bit more elevated than that. It has two wings. The mother lives on one wing, and the child or the children live on the other wing, and the mother gets to visit with the child for so many hours a day, but they live in separate quarters.
Now, what was there something going on with the mom that she needed to be in that situation, or?
Well, or you don't know. I believe part of the father's restitution or probation or whatever. I don't think it was probation, but for some reason she could not have contact with the father. Oh, probably because at the time he was not compliant with the court.
No, I'm sorry. I might be confused. You were saying the mother was in some sort of halfway housing with the child?
With the child.
And I was wondering, was there a reason why she was living there as opposed to having her own place?
Oh, right. I forgot to. Okay. That's because when James was discovered to be in need of services, I don't know how they found this out, but the mother, who was 16, and her sister, who also had gotten pregnant with and had an infant, were living in a house with no furniture, very little food. They had a couple of mattresses on the floor.
Okay.
And I think maybe the grandmother had called CYS and told them about it. Mm. Because I assume she didn't want to have to. She did not offer to take care of James, because normally, in a case like that, the child would go to someone who's kin.
Next of kin. Mm-hmm.
Next of kin, right. But the fact that we got him indicates that she wasn't willing to do that. So that's how she ended. So that's how we got James. And then the mother was non-compliant, but then she got her act together. So they took James out of her house right when he turned, I want to say, 2 years old. We were devastated. I was a mess. Then, you know, we healed and we moved on.
Right. I remember you mentioned that before.
Yeah. And then maybe 3 months later, we found out that the mother, she had run away from the home at one point, but came back. And they gave her a second chance. Then she ran away a second time. Not only did she run away this time, but she stole $400 from one of the attendants. I don't know how she got her hands on the money, but she stole some money, left. To this day, they don't know where she is, but they do. I think they heard maybe a couple years ago that she was pregnant again. I think she is pregnant again. So she's probably had that child, which is probably in need of services right now.
I'm just quick curious, and you may not know the answer to this. Have you ever, or has anybody ever mentioned her parents? Is she just not in contact with them, or they don't have anything to do with it? Or?
I don't know. I will say up front, everything I'm telling you is secondhand information because, you know, they have a right to privacy as much as they do. So everything we know is because the initial caseworker told us.
I got you.
And I just it's amazing to me. If we really have the children's best interests at mind, I mean, you have to understand, James has been in our home for 3 years, with the exception of that 3 month period where he was put into a halfway home. And now he, for the last month, he's been doing overnight visits with his dad. And now they've been stepped up to two nights per week visits as opposed to just overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And as of next week, towards the end of the week, he will be placed back with his father.
Let me ask you, how is James? So what is his, how old is he now? He's three years old.
He turned three on June 30th.
Okay, so what is his demeanor? And, you know, does he, how is he, you know, in terms of, I guess, maybe when, I don't know if the dad comes to your house, maybe he doesn't actually, but do you see like he is receptive to this, or I don't know if he's asking things, or, you know, what is he saying?
That's an excellent question. And you know what, Mike? No fucking time have any of the people from CYS or any of the people from the agency that we are contracted with, none of them have ever asked that question. They've never asked that question. I've always been the one telling them. I'll tell you what I tell them. He, you know, understand he's three.
Mm-hmm.
So what he sees this as right now, he sees this as visiting another man who is his other dad that, and I don't know what they do. I'm not allowed to know what they do. So he sees it as just visits to this other man who is his other dad. And we do know that he has, you know, I told you he has a half brother.
Okay.
So he knows that he has another brother. And I'm not trying to be funny. But we were told, I don't know why they told us, the infant's name is Jeremiah. But James, I guess the nickname they've given him is Lolo.
Okay.
And I don't know if the listeners remember this or if you remember this, but he lives in an area in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, where we are. It's an area, I'm not going to even mention the area, but I told a story once about being in a barbershop, and they were talking about this area. All the barbers were around, you know, talking about this area. And it's kind of it's a rough barbershop. You know, I mean, it's no danger, but, you know, they keep it real. They talk kind of real. I have to tell them every now and then, you know, I got kids here, kind of, can y'all chill?
Right.
But they were talking about the area where James' father lives and where James will live. And they were saying just all negative things because it's a mostly African American neighborhood. And I don't fall into that trap where just because it's all African American does not mean it's bad. Okay? I don't fall into that trap. So I said, okay, I mean, I'm sure there's gotta be good things. I've heard good things about this town that y'all are talking about. And they all laughed in my face. They all said, "Ian, you must be crazy. Who's talking to you?" And it just kind of made my heart break because this is where James is going to be living, you know.
Right.
And you know, Jeremiah Jahi, this new cat Chester, Brian Chester, or whoever, y'all may come at me, but it just kills me to think that he's going to be in an environment where people who know more about the streets than I do are clowning this area. So, yeah, that's what we're dealing with. I lost my train of thought.
You guys, he's still living with you now, James, right?
He's with us now. We're going to, this afternoon, this evening, we're going to drive up to New York. He's never been to New York. We're just going to take a trip. Do some tourist stuff and just give him an experience before he leaves.
Well, and when is his last day? Do you know him?
Yeah. Here's the thing. The court date is August the 26th. We had planned a vacation. We were going to be leaving August the 22nd, coming back on the 31st. So, and that's the other thing. They spring these things up on us at the last minute. They have no consideration as to our time. So I told his sixth, the person who was like the sixth person to be assigned to him, I said, look, it looks like you guys are fast tracking this reunification with his father. If you're doing that, if you insist on doing that, please move up the date that you put James back with his father because we had a vacation scheduled. And it may sound cold, but I was just angry. And I was like, I would gladly, I mean, we put down a big chunk of change for this trip. We were going to go to we're going to Europe. We put down a big chunk of change. I would gladly kiss that money goodbye if it meant that James was going to stay in our home, and we had to be here on the 26th. Mm-hmm. But since they made it clear he's going to be put back, we said just up the date. Don't keep us waiting. Up the date. We're going to go on our vacation. Mm-hmm. And so they moved it up to the 20th. Or they're going to put him on the home on the 20th. The hearing will be on the 26th. Now, something could happen. Father could do something out of pocket. And on the 26th, they say James is not ready to go back. Something could happen right. when they put him back with the father, because the father, being that he's on medication, being that he claims disability, being that he has this lawn mowing, tree cutting business, and he doesn't understand that, you know, having two children in your home and you're by yourself is not as easy as you may think it, as you may believe it to be, and he might freak out and do something, they could put him back with us.
Okay. Let me I'm going to say this. Actually the 20th, so next Wednesday, next week, will be right. It'll be at the other gentleman's house, his father's house. You know, one thing I want to be clear, and I have to say this. So first of all, I have to say to you, you know, right. you are doing the work that all of us should be doing. You're doing, you're saving a life, giving reprieve to another person, another, you know, I'm going to be tribal here, another black family. I'm not going to speak. I don't know the situation, right? I know from what you told me, and it's not the best. And it was the best interest to pull that young boy out of that and put him in a stable, loving environment, which is your household. Like, you are the head of that, right?
I think I know where you're going, and just you be truthful. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
Okay, so that is beyond being commendable. That's like what we're supposed to do. You offered a nurturing environment for this little boy. You know, you see him as your son. He is your son. You became a father to him. That is like the example of how we're supposed to do it. But with that comes, you know, you have to take the heavy, you know, the heavy heart part of it. You have to commit yourself, not only financially, but emotionally, which is probably a bigger thing to pay. You know, yep. you had to put your heart into this, and you're bonding with him, and he's bonding with you. And, you know, you as a father, as a man, your wife obviously is a part of this. Your other son, your son is a part of this. So all of you are committed and have put that sacrifice on the line. The thing that's the hardest part about it is kind of what you're dealing with now. And have you done with before, is that at some point, if everything is correct, he goes back to his family, right? And his family has gotten itself together. They've stepped up, and now they can step up and do their job. And that's tough because of the emotional ties and bonds that you have created with him. And he has created with you. And I don't know. I've never been in that situation. I can't speak on how that feels. I can only imagine. I'm just listening to you talk. It's like, okay, you know, it starts making me think about my son and my situation. But I'm like, you know what? He's doing the thing that Big Mama and them always did, you know, or the grandmother did. The baby, bring the babies over here, because the mom, she ain't got her stuff together. And we don't have time for that. Bring her over here. We'll take care of them. That's what you did. So that is to be, like I said, man, if nothing else, it speaks to the person that you are and the integrity and very strong. You know, all the shit we joke about and laugh about on the other podcast and that is said online. At the end of the day, Mike, you're the one saving black boys.
Well, let me just say, listen.
Go ahead. Well, no, I'm just being very serious, though.
I appreciate all you're saying. I
don't. And that's not an easy thing to do.
don't know. I guess I don't take compliments easily because maybe it's a lack of self-worth. I don't know. I'm saying more than I should be saying on this podcast.
Well, that's what this podcast is for.
You had to kick me in my behind to get myself on camera. I was telling you, I don't look good. I admit I do have some insecurities. I think we all do, but I've struggled with insecurity. I'm going to say that for the first time. But, so.
Yeah, man, but see, that's the thing. Everybody does. And yes, you have to address the ones that you have. But at the end of the day, man, you have to recognize that you are built from a different cloth. Right, because a lot of people are not going to do what you did for a lot of reasons.
I was just going to say real quick. I want to finish what I'm saying. There was a selfish element to this, so I'm not. It's not like I'm a saint.
Well, we're human. We're human, man. Go ahead.
Because we wanted a son. We wanted a second son.
Right.
And part of me feels guilty saying that this man doesn't deserve to have his biological son when he got his life together. I mean, if I didn't know this guy's past, if they had told us, Mike, this is only going to be temporary, are you prepared for this? When we first took the call, it'd be a lot easier. I'd still be broken up, but I wouldn't feel like I had been used, right. I had been cheated, I had been lied to. So I feel guilty. A part of me feels guilty that I'm upset that this, and I'm saying this black man, who might have some shady stuff on the side, but has gotten who the court has deemed has gotten his act together, is willing. You don't see a lot of black men willing to fight for their sons.
That's what I was going to say next. I mean, you said he has another child, and I don't know if this gentleman is married or
he's not.
He's not. So for a, as you said, a single brother, a single man, to want to fight for not only to have custody of this child but both. And you know, obviously he's making an effort. I would imagine he's going through this because he does care. And that is to say a lot, too. And, you know, the emotional side and the bonds. And as you said, you rightfully feel like, you know what, they told us one thing and now they're doing something else. You know, and that's why I was asking, too, kind of was curious, you know, what is James? How does James feel?
Oh, right. And that's where I lost my train of thought. If I can pick up there.
Go ahead.
Okay, ooh, this is going to be really tough. I know I'm coming off like a bitch right now.
No, man, this is real talk. This is the realest talk anybody can ever have.
All right, so I try to, I let me back up for a sec. Y'all remember, you remember if Sean and Mark and Anthony are listening, Aunt Pooh are listening, we were reviewing Amazing Spider-Man 2, and I said, the best scene in that film was when Peter squared off with Aunt May.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole, where she got emotional. So now y'all see why that was my favorite scene. But, you know, as I talk to James, I try not to say anything bad about his father. I think that's disrespectful no matter how I feel. And it's not productive. But I ask him, you know, James, you know that, Do you want to go stay with your father for good? And, you know, a month ago he was saying yes. You know, I was like, damn, okay. Yeah, but, you know, he's three. I was like, okay, cool. And then just to kind of ease him into it, I said, oh, James, you know, as we're getting closer, I say to him, James, you know, I know you like these overnights with your dad. You know, you're going to be staying with your dad all the time in a few weeks. And then he went into it, Mike. He was like, I don't want to. I like visit, but I want to come home. Hmm. And then it was like, okay, I had to turn my head away. He's like, see mommy, come home, see mommy. Because he calls my wife mommy. Mm-hmm. He calls Evan, my son, his brother. And he says he has another brother. You know, and we've told him all this time he has, you know, two grandmothers and he has a third grandmother that he won't get to see for a while. So we tried to keep it in his head that he has another dad. But now he's like, you know, I don't want to stay there. You know. So I don't know how that's going to play out. But as sad as I feel for myself, I feel 1,000 times worse for him.
Yeah, that's gonna be tough for him. You know, the whole situation that he's in, and it's no fault of yours, no fault of his. You know, all you're doing is correcting that situation. That's all that you did. And part of the correction is that, yes, he's going to have to go back to his dad at some certain point, and there's going to be that, you know, sort of confusion on his part. You know, he's going to be missing you. But I say, you know, where he's at right now, and this goes to his dad and to him and to you, anybody, but where he is at right now is not where they're going to be at 5-10 years from now, you know, if everything stays great. You know, the man that his dad may have been 5 years ago or 3 years ago is hopefully not the man he is today and won't be the guy he'll be in 10 years.
Good point.
And
good.
At the end of all of this, you know, and hopefully that there's a way you guys still get able to have a relationship with him and to be in contact in some way, is that James going to grow up to know that, you know what, the Jones family, that's my other family. They stepped up for me, and that's my other dad, my other brother. I remember them. I remember when I was over there. I remember that. And they helped my dad get, you know, he had to get his stuff together. And my dad fought for me to come back home. But they were a part of this. And they'll make, and they'll be, you'll be a part of his life forever, you know. So you're, like I said, again, man, you have to remember that you're doing a great thing. You've done a great thing. Take sacrifice. But where they're at now is not where they're going to be. And you're helping them get to be at that better place, you know. And hopefully one day maybe the mom will get her act together and she'll realize, you know what, I was young. I didn't know what I was. Wasn't ready. Wasn't prepared. Thank God, whether you don't believe it, thank God that this other family stepped up, and however we got to be connected, that they watched over my son until I was able to get my stuff together to be a better person for him. You know, that's the only way I can look at it. You know, again, it is the sacrifice, but that's hard. That's what we need. You know, a motivation for me. I'm like, my man's taking in kids that aren't even his. Right? and getting other lives on track. Maybe I should be trying to, you know, that everybody has their calling or thing, but I'm like, shit, what am I doing? What am I doing for my own situation?
Well, you know, that everybody has their own thing. You know,
you're inspiring people. I'm sure people will hear this, but at the same point, just from my own self, I'm like, you know what, man, this is the kind of work, this is the kind of love, this is what we always talk about. What can we do? This is the unity right here, what you just displayed. It takes this hard type of work to make change, and you have made change in this little boy's life for the better.
Well, you know, and I appreciate that, but you know, I will be, if we're talking real, it's made me look at myself and say, maybe am I really, okay, we're gonna get really deep now. I think about, am I really an elitist? I like to think that I'm not, but am I really? Maybe I need to examine that part of me. Maybe I think about, is James gonna grow up talking a certain way? Is he gonna have his pants sagging down? Is he gonna be this? Is he gonna be that?
No, that's a father talking. A father wants their kids to be in a better situation than I would think the same way for my kids. I don't want them in no foolishness. You know, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but that's my child. So I'm going to dictate what I feel like he needs to be in. It doesn't matter if I'm a leader. I can be, oh, well, I'd be elitist. Oh, well. But that's my responsibility, person. So I'm going to be whatever I need to be.
It reminds me of, I'm a big fan of the show Good Times. Mm-hmm. The episode, this was after James had died. It was a Penny episode where Penny's mom, Chip Fields, tried to let's see, what was it? Wilona had adopted or was the guardian of Penny. And Penny's mom tried to come back into the picture and she tried to set Wilona up to be a bad mother.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was she and Wilona have a face-off. Now, you know how Wilona could get, boy. She wasn't having it. And Penny's mother said, because Penny's mother had come up, okay? And she was like, my house, I got a swimming pool. I could buy her anything she wants, take her anywhere around the world. I can do this. I can do that. What can you offer her? And Wilona just turned to her and said, love. And I'm like, sometimes I wonder if I need to check myself and say, am I being like Penny's mother? Maybe her father can offer, maybe his father, James's father, can offer him love, if nothing else. And it's just, it's hard to accept that. I want to keep thinking, oh, we got this. Shoot, we got a big house. We got a pool. We could take him to Disney World once a year. We could, and I feel bad when I think that. But it's like, I feel like we could expose him to so many things.
Right, and I hear what you're
saying. And then I say to myself, Mike, maybe you need to check yourself. Maybe you are what some of these people on Facebook and some are accusing you of being. And you need to examine your values. But I can't help but feel that way. I want to give him love and I want to expose him to so many things that I just wonder if his father in his situation would be able to. And sometimes I feel guilty about that, you know?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying and I can understand what you mean. You know, at the end of the day, I think you want the best for James. And we all go about wanting the best for our kids in our own sort of ways. Some of it could be on selfish levels or whatever it is. But I just think at the end of the day, if you're keeping that top of mind, I still want what's best for him. Maybe I think I could offer him better. That's a great thing. I mean, it just shows that you care, because a lot of people don't care, right? Some people aren't concerned about that type of stuff. So, yeah, I'm sure he's going to have love. I'm sure his dad, obviously, since he's a part of this, he's fighting for him. He must have a lot of love and want to, you know, take care of his son. So I, you know, we have to commend that. That is like, that's where you want him to be. We will want all fathers to, you know, fight and stay a part of their child's life. So you got to give him credit for that. I mean, you're just doing, like I said, I keep saying, you're doing a very hard job that most people are just not built to do. And it will cause you to feel and have a lot of pain and love in it, and it's hard, which is why people don't want to do it, that because it could possibly be taken from you, or you could create a bond and then they got to leave. That's tough. That is super hard.
I don't know how people do become foster parents. I mean, when you know, I mean, we were foster to adopt. I mean, the people that deserve the stand-up ovation are the people who are strictly foster parents, because, you know, through our experience, we kept hearing about parents who would cry every time a child was reunited, but then would say, okay, where's the next one? Those are the heroes. Those are the people who deserve to be commended, because they're doing it day in, day out.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll say is that the father has said more than one time that he appreciated what we did, what we've been doing. And he wants us to be, I guess, the equivalent of godparents. He wants us to stay in James's life.
There you go.
However, you know, Mike, again, maybe I sound like a certain kind of way, but I just don't want to be perceived as an ATM either. So we have to be careful. Mm-hmm. And I part of me is like, I just want that clean break. But then, again, you're struggling with emotions, man. I want that clean break. I'm being selfish. It's going to hurt too much for him to walk in here and then walk out again. And we see him whenever the father says we can see him, you know. But I just wanted to put that out there in his defense, that he has said he appreciates what we've done. So.
Yeah. And you know, maybe one day he hears this. And I think at the end of the day, again, he understands that you love him. And everything you're doing is to help him. And because you love him, you want the best for him. And that's, we as men, we're going to have to, we'll, as I always say, we're going to take the weight. I don't always want to take the weight. I know you don't always want to take the weight. But to me, that's our job. We'll take the weight. Ultimately, we're going to take the weight. And we'll shoulder this. And we'll cry. And we'll build ourselves back up and keep it pushing. Because we hold the line, right? And so I think he's going to see, you know what? That's the example. One of the examples I'm going to have in my life. Somebody really cared for me. My dad, my real dad was fighting for me. So it's just going to show him to be a better person. And you've shown him by the examples. It's not some words we're talking about. You're actually doing it. And you will be okay later. You know, you're going to be better. You have a beautiful family already, too. You know, let's not forget about that. You have a son. You have a beautiful wife. You have a nice house. You know, you're doing your thing. You have a great life. You say you're going, getting ready to go to Europe and doing different things. So you are living a very excellent life. So never, you know, sell yourself short. And again, all I can do is to commend you on what you're doing and what you have done. And you know what? Recognize your value. Recognize your worth. Recognize that you're a good dude. You know.
All right, well, Mike, I appreciate it. It's not about me, though. It's about James.
For sure. I'm just saying, I know you, so I can speak to you. And I know it's about James. Everything you're doing, it's about him. So.
Yes, so, sir. All right. I just wanted to let everyone know, I guess I was expecting this to be more like Morton Downey Jr. or Jerry Springer.
What?
You know, like... you know, fuck that dude and fuck this.
Nah.
Taking my son, you know. But you like Dr. Phil, bro.
Nah, you know what? We as men and families, we have to stick together. You know, even though it's sometimes not what we want, we got to protect these children. You know, that's what I have to tell myself every day because I don't have my kids. So, you know, I don't get to see them all the time. You know, I don't get to be in contact with them as much as I used to be. But I know for right now, it's in the best interest where they're at, being in Hawaii and that. That's, you know, I could try to fight that and make this whole mess, but I don't want to put them through that. So I'll hold the weight and we'll make it better. Because where we're at right now is not where we're going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It'll be totally different. So, again... We are fathers. We're men. We commend and we salute James's dad because you know what? He's stepping up. He's doing what he's got to do. It's not like he's getting himself together. He made a mistake, basically. And his mistake is transferred over and it affected James's life. Now they're trying to course correct that and get back on track. And that's really all we can do is offer assistance, love, and you can't hold it right now. I'll hold the weight. Let me step up and grab this boy. I'll take care of him. Hopefully you'll get your stuff together. If you do, you don't, we're gonna hold him down regardless, because we're about these children. So we men, we have to stick together. And like I said, man, don't ever get it twisted. That's the example. You're showing the example. You know, we're here to hold you down through the hard times. You know, that's our job, is to say, you know what, Q, man, we sympathize. We hear whatever we can do. You just want to get off your chest. We're here to hold you down, just as you hold it James down.
I just hope that because the father, and I'm not saying it to speak bad anymore, but he has, I think, two or three other grown kids. I just hope he learns. Now, this is me talking as a black man saying, I hope he learns that you can't just keep, it's not just about spreading your seed around and having to fight for the kids. It's about knowing when to stop. You know?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you can't support multiple children, you know, cutting lawns. I can hold down James for him, and as much as I don't want him to go, but at the end of the day, it's about James. And if he doesn't learn with the medication, with the temper, with the you know spreading that seed, you know, then
none of us are perfect. But I hear what you're saying. We're gonna all continue to learn as we go, and hopefully we learn from different things. But we all got situations, right? None of us are perfect. So, but I hear what you're saying. Again, it's only the best interest of him. All we're gonna do is, you know, do what you did. And hopefully he does what he needs to do. It sounds like he's on the track to do that, though.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I know. Well, at least the court feels. I mean, I don't know the whole situation, but he has it. He has a home. It's been approved by CYS. You know, we could talk about the neighborhood he's in, but I guess everything is up to par. And I think James is going to have his own bedroom. I will say, being that his source of income is disability, I don't know how he's holding it down, but that's not for me to know.
No, and I know plenty of people who have disabilities and have a great life. So, you know, it is what it is. But like you said, the courts found you, put you in an excellent place, and if they deemed him to be excellent and he goes back, then we have to trust in that. That's the system. We just hope for the best. So anything else? I don't want to cut you short, so I want to make sure you...
No, I'm good. As a matter of fact, I got to go pick him up from daycare. So.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. Well, Q, I want to say thank you for sharing this on A Place in This World. How can people connect with you online?
I feel kind of shameful promoting myself on this particular show, but... All right, you can catch up with me on Michael Jones on Facebook. qstorm.com/lightningstrikes is my blog. You can find me on YouTube, thanks to Mr. Dean kicking me in that behind. I now have a YouTube page, which I need to update with a new video, which is you can search for me on The Real Q Storm, R-E-E-L, The Real Q Storm, and you'll see my page. And there you go.
All right. So thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we gave Q Storm. So Q Storm, I mean, we gave Q Storm a reprieve. We're talking to Michael Jones. Let me be clear. Let me say this, and I'll quickly wrap it up. Q Storm, Michael Jones, that's our brother. So when he's saying what he needs to say, I'm going to stand behind him. I don't care what he said. That's my family. This is family to me right here. This brother's been holding me down online, pushing me, being listening to what I'm doing for years. And I respect, there's been times when I wasn't even doing so good financially. Let me call up Mike, what do you need? Okay, boom, here it is. So that's what I'm talking about. So that's why when I do connect with people, I only connect with real cats. I have very few people that I really, excuse my language, fuck with. So whenever you see Mike be on Facebook, whatever, and it be hot debating, listen, at the end of the day, I'm still riding with Mike. Okay.
That's word, right. That's
just so y'all understand.
You ain't lied. Mike, you ain't lied right there. You ain't never lied right there.
Yeah. So, and we can debate all day, but that's my brother. That's what we can do that. And anybody else that I debate with, we don't have to agree, but it's love and respect there, and we can have conversation, and I love that. So it's never, so don't, if you listen to these shows, understand we're brothers in any way you want to look, call that. So it's nothing but love. And so, yeah, that's the whole podcast juice style right there. Don't ever think that was some real conflict. It's not. You know, we just have opinions and we love to spar back and forth. It's great. With that, I want to thank you for listening to this show. Please check us out at podcastjuice.net. Like us on Facebook, the Podcast Juice page. Also catch me on Twitter at MDean. Yo, we out of here. We'll see you next time. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Peace.
I was born to give you closure. I was born to give you light. And I will die to make you stronger.
Come on, me, I'm to do you right.
I never have to worry. My love is golden. I will shower you with love. Supernatural, everlasting glory from the heavens up.
Thank you. love, more love.